squirm. It's a squirm up in here. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a crispy and crunchy kratom-fueled 365 degrees Kelvin to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Hot. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it?
The walls are melting.
Lisa's just get a laugh for 2 hours.
Those aren't the walls, Michael. That's your skin.
Okay.
The Freedom Fiends is on a heavy dose of BitCap, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at bipcot.org.
Yeah.
So, Michael, you're like scratching at your arms trying to get the imaginary bugs off of there, or like,
not me. My friend Tony Clifton. So I don't do drugs because I live in Wyoming and they're going to make everything illegal here. Even, you know what? So we got to discuss this thing that happened. Well, first of all, who's here? I'm Michael Dean. Lou's talked. Who else is here?
Lisa is here.
Ginger snaps.
The murder dog's here. I'm gonna shoot for every show this week. So
you know, cool. Thank you for your service. And Ginger Snaps is on Kratom, right? You on Kratom? Yes. Ginger Snaps.
What? Yeah, I am.
Huh? What? I'm looking at the shiny things. I'm looking at imaginary bugs on the wall and petting them. I can't tell. Okay, so So Wyoming, they did a poll here. 85% of people in Wyoming favor legal medical marijuana, and the only group or demographics that were against legalizing medical marijuana were people 75 years old and older, the people who'd probably benefit the most from medical marijuana.
Right. Yeah.
And you know what? Those people will be dead in 3 years because they're rejecting things that would help them. So take that poll again. Although the ranchislators, which is what the
ranchislators,
I don't like to say my rep, but the rep in the imaginary collective hallucination that is state districts, the one that reps the place where my and DJ's house lives, although we're actually on Alpha Centauri, but we have a wormhole that goes to Wyoming. The rep, you know, the guy who shoots cats, I've talked about him here before, he made up a great funny term to, I don't like that he shoots cats, but he says ranchislators for the other legislators here, because most of them are ranchers. And the ranchislators, my prediction is that even as support for medical marijuana approaches 100% here, and that's just the people that answered. You know, there are probably people that would answer yes who don't have a phone because they're convicted felons for smoking medical marijuana and they can't get a job. But the ranchislators here, I predict will outlaw everything. You know, like you can buy a gun here, buy bullets in the store, walk out in the parking lot, fill it, and like put it in your pocket legally, or put it in a holster on your hip legally, openly carry or conceal carry without a permit. But an ounce of pot is a felony. And the ranchislators here, as most of the state is against more marijuana laws and actually favors rolling them back, and they didn't do a, you know, they didn't do a phone survey on. Also, I wouldn't answer a phone survey on drug legalization. There's so many reasons not to, including it could be fake, you know. I don't know. Just, I don't want people to know what I think, and they can listen to this show if they want to know. But the ranchislators are trying to add more laws against pot right now, specifically increasing the laws against having edibles, because we are next door to Denver, to Colorado, you know, 4 hours away, and it borders. So the state is trying to outlaw, like make it a felony to have a cookie with some pot in it, because think of the children, because Colorado, because basically people can have pot now and there's no way the cops can tell it's pot, you know, so they want to make it more of a felony. Yeah. So
the problem is that it's just not illegal enough. If you find the right level of prohibition and illegality and unbehavingness,
then that's when they will like stop doing it because because you scribbled the right words down on a piece of paper in just the right order.
That's when the people with cancer will stop finding relief cheap next door in Colorado and having their, you know, son-in-law drive their form or whatever and pick it up once every 3 months. Or, seems legit. Yeah, seems legit. They're thinking about, you know, and it's for our health. It's for our health and our safety to the point where they will send cops into your house to shoot you if you, you know, for your safety, if you have some pot, literally. So
yeah, it's for your safetyness. So you had mentioned that they're not able to tell that people have pot because they're cookies. In the form of edibles. Yeah, cookies, brownies,
gummy,
stuff
gummy
like
worms.
That. Okay, so if they can't tell that people have edibles, then how is making it more illegal going to solve these things?
I don't know. I don't know how government works. Well, it's beyond me. I don't need to understand. I'm just a citizen, Lou.
Will this higher level of illegality like grant special powers to the police to determine which cookies are?
Yes.
X-ray
vision.
Psychic powers.
X-ray vision.
No. This is what will happen. Once they you know, crack down on that, that gives them the justification to tackle anybody who's holding any type of cookie just in case.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Because you get fat.
The war on cookies.
Fat. Oh, I came out today as fat. I've been posting a picture of me. I've been posting a picture of me online. If you notice,
no offense, boss, but you weren't hiding it very well.
I know. I was talking about weighing 220 pounds and being 5'5", but I hadn't actually posted a picture, but I did today because I'm not going to say why I had to take a selfie today. I took a bunch of them, and that was the one I liked because that's going to be in cartoon form somewhere in the next day or two. I'm not going to say anymore. All right, so.
Ooh,
interesting. Ooh. So. Intriguing. Kratom.
Right, that you're talking about the one with your glasses on.
Yeah, with the cat looking at me like seriously, you're gonna post this.
That's a great picture.
Yeah, Pip Cat. Yeah, so kratom. I want to talk about kratom, but I don't do kratom because Wyoming, because you know. Anyway, so I'm gonna talk about my experiences. I mean, my friend Tony Clifton's experiences. He called me and talked to me for 7 hours. And the walls were melting today and told me all about his last 3-day long lost weekend on Kratom. And so I know a lot about it. Kratom Bender, even though I've never done it. So I can speak from authority.
Kratom Bender.
Hey, speaking of Clifton. So we talked on the show last night about how Andy Kaufman faked his death and is now J. Neil Schulman. Right. So
yes, we did. We did.
And this was based on the fact that Schulman is usually incredibly cranky and, you know, like insane about everything I post, even if it's really critical to the point where I've kind of started trolling him. But he posted this one thing that kind of sounded like he was trolling us with all of that. Maybe alongside Knight was a big joke that he raised $800,000 to make a horrible movie of his great book. And then is playing this kind of Tony Clifton-esque, Andy Kaufman-esque role of yelling at everyone and calling them a cop, you know, to where like maybe he really is trolling us, not the other way around. And we need to bow down and say we're not worthy because he's the master troller.
Yeah, that would be the longest of the long cons right there.
Yeah. Well, hey, Andy Kaufman, you know what I found? I didn't know this until like after I made this meme that Andy Kaufman is believed to have faked his death because his character, Tony Clifton, the lounge singer that was sometimes played by him, sometimes his brother and sometimes his friend, did performances after Kaufman's death.
Yeah.
So thus probably part of probably
they
part
were doing
of the con.
Up until up until 2011, I think, was the last time.
Until Alongside Night started work, you know, plans for it started happening as a script. Yes.
Well, it does keep lining up. It's kind of hard to ignore.
You know, we've had this. We've endured this abuse from Schulman for months. Funny abuse, but abuse to where like we could tell the guy didn't have any sense of humor. But then it hit me like maybe he has a sense of humor because he posted this one thing where he said of himself, I am the official troll Alongside Night. You don't have the right to troll this. If you continue to troll my movie, you're violating my intellectual property, which is so wrong on so many levels that I thought maybe he's pulling out, you know, and then I just started thinking about, I went down this Kratom fueled, I don't take Kratom hole spiral of maybe he's J. Neil Schulman. So, you know, it was possible.
Maybe he's Andy Kaufman.
Sorry. Maybe Jane O'Shulman is Jane O'Shulman. So there's a after this episode last night and the meme with the facial recognition 5-point or 7-point probability match, there is a comment from Jane O'Shulman, his IP, it's definitely him. All he said, nobody ever saw Andy Kaufman and me together.
Whoa. Mind blowing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
My understanding is he's not that funny, so maybe it's real.
Who, Andy Kaufman? Yeah, he wasn't that funny.
No, Shulman.
Yeah, well, Andy Kaufman.
Shulman.
Oh, you're saying if he tells a joke that's funny, it must be, maybe he is a funny guy, a dead funny guy.
Yeah, it's Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
Because the Shulman character isn't funny.
Yeah, but yeah, now he's starting to become funny. Yeah, it's like Tony. Now that we're on to him, he's starting to be funny. So my friend who took the Kratom is not Tony Clifton. I misspoke. It's Cash Newman, which if anyone's ever read the book, it's not by Jim Neil Schumann. I can't remember, but it's this fiction novel that's supposedly not fiction, but might be fiction. It's called, I think, Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women. It's about this like low budget punk rock star. The main character of that book is called Cash Newman. So that's what my friend wants to go by, who did a bunch of Kratom this weekend. So,
yeah. I see. Okay.
Yep.
Thoroughly confused, but I'll
Well, that's because you're on Kratom. You're on the Kratoms. Yeah.
She's not taking the type that helps her to concentrate. She's taking
the there's
other
several
type.
Different kinds.
I did. I was like a machine today. I wrote for like 10 hours.
I know. And you said you're not tired. And Jeremy, we were like, yeah, sounds like cocaine. Let's see. Yeah. It's like cocaine, but it's cheap and legal. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, Lisa was telling me earlier how good she felt and how much better she was able to concentrate. So I'm thinking, hey, this sounds like a good idea. And then you guys start talking about all these different varieties, and I'm turning into Bernie Sanders. No, there's too many types of Kratom here. This is why children can't eat.
Yep, it's true.
I know. I looked up dosages, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, what are these? All right. So I had to.
They're wildly varying, but mm-hmm. so are the pots. When I was a kid, you could smoke 4 joints and not end up in the psych ward, you know.
Yeah,
it was $20 an ounce. Yeah,
I don't know anybody
changed
except homegrown, which was $10 an ounce, and now homegrown's like $9,000 a gram because it's like pure THC or something. I don't know, 110% THC.
I don't think that's true.
Yummy.
We'll be back.
Cash Newman told me.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Hey, it's not insider trading if I say it publicly that the price of Bitcoin might go up a lot tomorrow. Because everyone else should be mining it too. All right. So.
Nice.
All right, Freedom. I'll be right back.
Before I do, he's like, I get it. Yeah, so if you hear a noise in the background, it's me. I know I'm all about good audio, but if you explain it, if it's good audio with a little bad audio component, it's not bad audio. And if you hear a fan in the background, it's me furiously mining Bitcoin before the price might go up tomorrow for some reason. Okay, so Kratom. Oh, I wanted to talk about the band Fang because I haven't talked about them in a really long time.
Yeah, I know. It's been like minutes,
a day.
Hours.
Well, I didn't listen to today's show, last night's show, so I was too busy mining Bitcoin and talking to my friend Cash Newman about his Kratom experiences. So, so I just wanted to say something funny that it never really hit me because I was a broke punk rocker back then, and I'm not as broke punk rocker now. So the song "The Money Will Roll Right In," it's pretty funny, It's kind of sarcastic. It's very sarcastic. It's basically from the point of view of someone who says they're going to go to Hollywood and suddenly Hollywood will see how great they are and they'll suddenly be rich and he'll get to sleep with Brooke Shields and the money will roll right in. And if you'd been nice to me, I would have given you some. So you're going to feel bad because you didn't. But there's a line in there that's great because it's so punk rock. And I didn't realize it. I don't even know if Sammy realized it. Maybe he did. But it's really funny. The line is... it's nice to be a star. It's nice to have a car. In every other description I've ever heard of, like, someday I'll be rich, the line would be, I'm going to have a great fast car. To a punk rocker, being rich is, I have a car.
It'd sure be nice if I had a car.
Yeah, that's the line. And it's like, it never hit me till today. So my friend Cash Newman called me up in Kratom and said he figured it out because he could see through time. Yeah. All right.
Pretty
fun. So,
Kratom,
have you guys seen the movie Adaptation?
Yeah, a long time ago.
No.
Do you remember the drug in Adaptation?
No. What was the drug?
The drug in Adaptation.
Was it Kratom?
It might as well have been. It's a mythical drug that only exists in this movie, and it's derived from a flower, and it basically causes empathy and warm feelings and euphoria, but you can work on it. They show the drug at one point. It's a finely powdered green powder, bright green powder. It's Kratom, man. Yeah.
Wow.
But of course, the people taking the Kratom end up getting eaten by alligators in a swamp in Florida. So careful, kids. Kratom will lead to that.
Don't try this at home.
Lou, have you tried Kratom yet?
Is ducks.
No, I haven't.
Any plans?
Who knows? Maybe someday.
Yeah. Cool.
I mean, it's not, you know, how do you explain this stuff? It's not like you're high. It's just you have energy and you can focus.
Everything's sparkly and more intense and more focused. And I can just, yeah, man. And I just feel good. And I want to tell all my friends how much I love them.
Is what Cash told you, right?
I love each and every one of you. Cash didn't tell you that. No homo. A little homo.
Yeah, from what I understand, the higher the dosage, the more the sedative effect. And if you take a lot, it will help you fall asleep.
Yeah. Well, Cash is asleep on my couch right on my bed right now with a couple cats on top of him. So.
Yeah, but I think that's a pretty high dosage. Aww. But if you take too much, you'll just throw up, from what I've read.
There's different kinds of it, too. There's, I forget what they all are, but there's like kind of three different effects and varieties. And one's like kind of narcotic, and one's kind of stimulant. And I don't know, one's kind of narcotic stimulant with more painkiller effect. Mm-hmm. People use this for pain. People use it for pain management. Like people with fibromyalgia. What is that stuff?
Fibromyalgia.
It's so painful.
Yeah. It's so painful. It makes you think like math all the time.
Yeah. I have some friends who were using it for that, and I didn't even know that they were using it until the government started talking about banning it. And
well, that's the thing. Thanks,
all
government.
Over, like, no, don't like, take away my Kratom.
Nobody had heard about Kratom. Nobody had heard about Kratom. Yeah, my friend Little Mike, I said something up. I tagged you and him about something about Kratom, Lisa, and he said, oh, I had to look, and this is a kid who's taken every, you know, kid, he's like 50 now, but 48, he used to be my roommate in San Francisco. This is a guy who, like, would take any drug once, you know, like, we found some injectable Valium on the street, let's drink it, why not? You know, that was me and Little Mike back in the day, and he was like, I had to look Kratom up, I thought it was a province in Tolkien's books. It sounds like it.
It does. That's great.
All right. We'll be back with more Kratom-fueled madness with my friend Cash Newman and Lisa talking about Kratom. He's channeling me.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. By sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Fiendbot 3000.
Fiend phone.
Bipcot no gov.
Bad audio is a hate crime.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch. Now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
It says Lisa was a normal girl until a cat, and now she's a cat. Are you in your Halloween costume as a cat?
You buried the lead. You buried the lead. It's a normal picture of her, and then it's a picture of her dressed as a cat with the black nose painted on and whiskers drawn on her face.
I was getting and cat ears. I was getting to the lead. You buried it even further, even though you made it, because the pictures are practically identical, except she's a cat in the second.
Yeah,
like,
it's really
the same pose. It's from the same angle. It's the same, like. It's the same picture, but she suddenly turned into a cat, but it's a different picture.
That is pretty good, yeah.
Kids, don't you? You know, you should redo that, Lou, with different text, same pictures, and make it some kind of anti-creative message.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, that's funny. One of those, because they have those pot ones.
Before and after.
Yeah, like, this person smoked the pots, and now how are you going to tell your mom that they found you on
smoked
the street?
The pots.
Passed out or whatever,
Or injected the marijuana.
I like the one
that's like a dead teenager. Well, this isn't funny. You know, the one with the dead teenager? No, it's got this, like, teenage boy who's dressed up to look dead. You know, they used, like, I don't know, face paint and blue lips or something, and he looks like he's been dead for about 12 hours, and there's this middle-aged woman standing over him looking just like she's screaming, and it says, like, this is how your mother's gonna feel when she finds you dead from injecting the marijuana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy!
Yeah, I don't watch The Walking Dead, but I guess whoever it was who got killed recently that everybody's all talking about.
I don't watch it either. Yeah,
but apparently he was made into a meme, and they used it as in one of those ads too. You know, what I'm saying, this is what happens.
I think Lou made it. It was a picture of him, the dead guy on Walking Dead, and it said like knew something about Hillary, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, what did Glenn know about Hillary?
Yeah, or memes on the radio,
or it's got a picture of Glenn and it says, "I have information about Hillary Clinton that could have her arrested."
Yeah, is he dead now? I remember like he fake died back when I quit watching that show because it jumped the dead shark about 3 years ago. About a year ago,
he's real died. One thing I will tell you about that episode is that the intensity level was off the charts. I've heard people say that
Lou, that's the crane I'm talking.
Oh yeah, I got a contact.
Wait, let me interject here, sort of bury the lead. Are you talking about the last episode I probably saw one after this, but I think it was one or two seasons ago where Glenn is on the top of a dumpster with some other dude surrounded by zombies, so he doesn't really die in that scene.
No. Oscar the Grouch pulled him inside the dumpster and protected him.
No, he didn't. What really happened?
He crawled underneath the dumpster. He was underneath the guy that he was with.
You don't have to be able to outrun the zombies. You just be able to outrun your fat friend, right?
Yeah, his friend was even fat. As a matter of fact, his friend was the one that he shot himself in the head. He says, "Yeah, I'm not going out like this," or something to that effect. Boom. But anyway, Glenn wound up on the ground underneath his buddy, and he squeezed underneath the dumpster and
had
dead zombies packing around him so that the live zombies couldn't catch him.
Isn't that redundant?
All right.
Wait. Terminated zombies. Okay. So how did he get out
really
when he was trapped under the dead zombies?
He just hung out till the rest of the walkers disappeared,
and then pushed the dead zombies out of the way.
Yeah, because I like zombies that. Aren't really dead until they've died twice.
Right. Right.
I guess so.
It's kind of like doing Kratom.
Yeah.
Your ego isn't dead until it's died twice.
Exactly. But anyway, so he wound up staying underneath there, and he came back a few episodes later. But the season premiere of this particular season that's going on right now, for the folks that lost interest in it because of maybe the storyline they didn't care for, because there were parts that I thought could have been a lot better, or I just didn't like them, but I stuck with it because I'm not a quitter. the intensity in that first episode would knock your socks off. I mean, it is nice. Just absolutely off the charts. I was on the edge of my seat even during the commercials. I'm actually going to a coworker's house and watching this on Sunday nights because I don't have a TV or cable, and I don't want to wait a week for it to come out on the AMC app.
Well, speaking of things that are great and people watch them, I'm sure we'll come back to Kratom at some point because I think Cash is stirring on my bed. Cash Newman, he's kind of
Clifton.
No, it's Cash Newman. Although I'm actually going to rename him Bipcoin Newman, and when he wakes up, I'm going to convince him that's his name, and he'll believe it because Kratom. So,
Kratom.
I want to talk about some TV shows. What was the TV? There are a few of them I love that nobody watches, and finally somebody watched one, some fiend. What is
it? I watched
it?
Black Mirror.
Oh, my God.
Two episodes. It's the new season,
right? The new season?
No, I started at the very beginning. And the first episode with that prime minister and the pig.
That's hilarious.
I was like, God. What is this show about? Oh, my God.
I know. It's kind of like the Twilight Zone in high def with better writing. Nothing to do with Shulman, because he did write a Twilight Zone. Not in the 50s when they were great. In the 80s for where they're back for a minute and weren't very good. You know, I looked up Shulman and Tony Clifton. I mean, Andy Kaufman. Their birthdays today, their birth years are like 2.5 years apart. So this totally could work. You know, because when you fake your death, you flub things, and yeah. And actually, when you get fat, and I know this from personal use myself, being fat isn't great. But the cool thing about being fat is you tend to look younger than you are, not older than you are. Because when you're skinny, you know, when you get older, when you're skinny and you get older, you know, you look kind of crevicey and you look, you know, you more look your age. But except with Lisa. Lisa crevices. Looks younger. Lisa's not crevicey and she's skinny, but she looks young.
I'm not skinny, but
yeah, you are. Compared to me. Lucky. You know, my cat in that picture has put on some weight too from just 2 months ago. I've held steady. But my
sympathy
cat
weight.
Bip cat has put on sympathy weight. you know, I mean, she still looks great. I mean, cats look nice if they're a tiny bit plump, but plump and luscious, but and zombies like them better if they're plump
fat
and luscious.
Need love too, man.
Fat kitties, fat cats matter. Oh, I got a fat cat, but
fat
but
cats
you know
make my rock and roll go round.
I know, but I gotta say, Brian May, that this cat isn't gonna be doing any modeling for cryptocurrency logos anytime soon. That's in her past. Ooh, I said it. I'm looking right at her. She's looking at me like, what? Cats are on Kratom, act like they're on Kratom all the time. So Kratom basically turns you into a cat. So kids, don't do it.
So the meme is accurate.
So don't do it. It'll make
all
you happy.
All my memes are accurate.
It'll make you happy and sleepy all the time, and you'll be able to see in the dark. Don't take Kratom.
Wait a minute, I want to be able to see in the dark. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, me too.
All right, so Black Mirror. So you're like two seasons behind. It's so much better now.
I know, and I only watched two episodes, the one about the pig, and that blew my mind. But it makes you think, and I like that. And then the second one that I watched was about the guy who's in that, like, virtual reality world. They have the game show that's like American Idol.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he saves up all the points and gives them to the girl, and then, that one was sad. I was like, oh.
Yeah, a lot of them are sad, but...
But they make you think, which I like.
There's actually one, they're kind of sad sometimes because they're kind of like... What's that Twitter feed? Have you seen that one called like the future is horrible or something? that's got all.
But I've seen Nihilist Arby's, which is pretty good.
No, it's funny. I forget what this one's called. I subscribe to it, but it's like it's all like robots gone awry. It's like actual pictures though, and actual memes, like things of actual things that happen, of just horrible, horrible things that we're headed towards. Yeah, but Black Mirror. Yeah. You know why it's called Black Mirror? You weren't around when you weren't on the Fiends when Dobby and I were discussing this 2 years ago. Do you know why, Lisa?
No, I have kind of an idea, but tell me.
What is it? Tell me.
I was thinking because you're kind of looking in the mirror at yourself, but it's kind of a deep thing that I don't know if I can explain.
Well, it's kind of
right
a triple
now,
entendre, but the main meaning of it is screens. Your phone, when it's not on, is a black mirror.
Oh.
You know, your computer screen, your TV screen, when they're off, they look like a black mirror now.
Yeah. I see. That makes sense.
But it's generally, it's very dystopian. It's about always about the not too distant future. And it's really not very far, not too distant future. Like everything in every episode, everything looks kind of like it does now, but a couple things are a little bit different, like they probably will be. There's actually, like about once a season, there's one that's really heartwarming. Like there's one in the latest season that's kind of sad and happy, but it's definitely has a happy ending. It's the one about, it's the one where people are time traveling to the 80s in virtual reality. That's all I'll say without being too much of a spoiler. But yeah, that one is beautiful, heartwarming, sad, sweet, and like you feel like, aw, when it's over.
Aww.
Well, I'm going to watch more. I like it. It's very good.
Jump to the third season. It's so good.
Okay.
The new one is about killer bees that...
You're so easy, Lisa. Okay.
The new one is about killer bees that are actually made by the government and are... So it's a... Without revealing too much, and this is like in the description of it. So it's about a world... In the not-too-distant future, where all the bees are extinct, which is a thing that the world is headed toward. So, without bees, like, flower... Like, where there wouldn't be fruit, you know? Like, there wouldn't be... Like, everything would collapse. So they make little robot bees to pollinate flowers. But,
God.
But somebody hacks them. Let's put it that way.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, it's a very clever show.
And the bees self-replicate. They 3D print. They make what are called hives around cities, which are actually 3D printers that make more bees. What could possibly go wrong? Oh, and the company that makes them, that's paid for by the government, can't actually shut them down. What could possibly go wrong?
No kill switch.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I welcome our bee overlords.
Yeah.
I think I'll take my chances with the robots. I don't think I want bee overlords.
They're robot bees.
Yeah, but just regular robots. Right. That's even worse.
Stinging
Why not
overlords.
Both? Why not both? Yeah.
Great. Flying, stinging.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't sting. They don't sting, but they can burrow into your head.
That's worse.
Oh, even that's much better.
They're made
much
of metal.
Oh, yeah,
the best part of that episode is the sound of the bees. Like somebody in the sound department where I noticed it. Somebody should win an Emmy for best sound design for that episode, because the bees, they took the sound of bees and then made it slightly metallic, because the bees are made of metal and they're solar powered, and it's about what you think.
Solar powered bees.
Yeah. Yeah. Self-replicating, solar-powered, uncontrollable bees. What could possibly go wrong? I welcome our robot bee overlords. More Kratom Field Madness after this.
Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT NoGov merchandise. The BIPCOT NoGovernment license is licensed under the BIPCOT NoGovernment license, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT NoGovernment merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends, be the coolest kid at FiendFest Somalia, laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPStrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BitCot. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BitCot.org. That's BitCot.org.
So I got the blank Lisa Kratom meme pictures that Lou just uploaded, which is the one of the perks of membership in Fiendtopia is you get things like this that no one else gets. Like, these are called exploitables when you have a meme that you can put, anyone can put text on. Exploitable. I don't want to exploit Lisa, but I am going to make a meme about Kratom. Before and after.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Yep. I like memes. I'm a good sport.
I already did the before and after.
Yeah. But you didn't make it an anti-Kratom ad.
It's an implied anti-Kratom ad.
I use journalistic objectivity.
More memes.
Wait.
The more the
turning,
better.
Something turning you into a cat is not going to discourage me from doing it, Lou. It's not an anti-Kratom ad as much as I like cats.
I don't think it's going to...
I don't think everybody likes cats as much as you, Mike.
Not even once. Yeah, I'll put that in there. Thanks, Lou. Lou, these things just write themselves, and you're writing it for me.
No, all actually, right, so I wrote it.
I built that. Are you two back together? Can we talk about them here? I hope so.
Nothing like clearing this stuff off.
I hope so because I like true love and also because it makes booking the Fiends a lot easier.
But these two can't be on together because they hate each other. No.
You know, my friend Martine Lenoble, who's now married to Christina, not Aguilera, Applegate, Christina Applegate. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah,
guys
cool.
Who are
like
my
her.
Age. How
She's
cool
funny.
Is it to have married Christina Applegate? If people don't know, that's Kelly Bundy from Married with Children. But so Martine used to be in this band called Porno for Pyros. It was Perry Farrell's post, yes. Really good post Jane's Addiction band. Yeah, and I was hanging out with them. My friend Cash Newman was selling them heroin, but I was just hanging out, maybe doing some heroin. And I never sold heroin to Perry Farrell. And, hey, that guy put a gun out on the table. I'm not going to talk about that.
Who hasn't done that?
Who hasn't put out a gun on the table to make a drug deal go smoothly?
Oh, no, I meant the first part, selling heroin to Perry Farrell.
Oh, I know. Actually, no, here's the thing. Like, my friend Cash Newman mentioned about 15 years ago that he had, you know, after my friend Cash got into recovery and before Kratom, he mentioned that he had, like, he was kind of bragging to this dude. He's like, yeah, man, I sold heroin to Perry Farrell once. And this friend, mutual friend of ours said, did he bring his gun? He did when I sold him heroin.
See?
And I was like, I mean, Cash Newman was like, no, I didn't see a gun, man. But Perry was doing a lot of cocaine, so he might have gotten really paranoid to where he got a gun or shown a gun at drug deals, which is really a bad idea to place the gun on the table. It's basically, here's a gun, grab it and shoot me. But you never want to give up control of your gun. But it's common in drug deals, or was in the 70s at least. And Perry's kind of a child of the 70s. So, but Martine said that when they were recording that last record, the one where Martine got sober and split, so halfway through the record, it stops being Martine on bass, and then it's Mike Watt on bass, who doesn't do crack and heroin, but he'll play with anybody because he's great. Martine said that Perry Farrell had a crack rock that he was like shaving bits off of and smoking in the studio that was like the size of a grapefruit.
Wow.
That's,
you know, okay, punk rock stardom is it's nice to have a car. Real stardom is you've got a crack rock the size of a grapefruit on the mixing console. And they were recording at Ocean Way Studios in LA, which is on the ocean. You know, the backyard is the sand and then the ocean. And he said that Perry Farrell, like when Martine quit, Perry was so paranoid that he believed there were frogmen with assault rifles coming up in the ocean at night to kill him.
Wow.
But
wow.
Yeah. I don't even know how we got there. Okay, so Martin. Oh, so Mart before. So when Porno Papyrus played their first tour, and they came to San Francisco, they're supposed to play three nights, but they played two nights. The drummer's brother died watching a movie. Of course, my first question was, what movie?
What movie?
And Martijn was like, Michael, that is not very funny. But that was my first question, too. Martijn is Dutch. So, but Martijn and Peter, we're out. Damn it.
No, we got time. Go ahead. Finish. Okay.
Martijn and Peter couldn't sleep next to each other in the same hotel rooms. They had to be separated so everyone could keep an eye on them so they wouldn't make Perry relapse because everyone was a drug addict, but they were all sober for a minute until Cash Newman showed up, party pooper. Yeah, so we got to keep you separated. That's what we're saying. I don't even know who I'm trying to keep separated at this point. I can't remember how this started. Do you guys know?
I don't know either.
I don't know what that is.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Air 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region.
Yeah!
It is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments, even if they're on Kratom. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Bueller.
The Kratom Fiends.
Bueller.
This is the Kratom Fiends. Bueller.
The Kratom Fiends, yeah.
Broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Kratom-fueled low-orbit ion cannon.
Yeah.
God, put a little emotion into it, Jeremy.
Yeah, it doesn't.
He's
really
had enough of our antics.
I don't know how, Lou.
He's like, he's had enough of our antics.
Eeyore.
Yeah, come on. I'm much more Eeyore than I am that guy.
Ben. So anyway, yeah. I'm gonna start mining Kratom.
Nice. What's your hash cat rate? Your Kratom mine rate.
No, not hash. Kratom.
Yeah, it's measured. The mining capacity of a Kratom miner is measured in hashcat units. Hashcat.
I don't know what that is.
Ask Lisa. She's the hashcat of the Kratom cat. Kratom kitties.
She used to be a normal girl, but then.
Yep, it happens. So Kratom. I guess I could see getting addicted to it, according to my friend Cash Kratom.
But, yeah, I like the productivity. I like the energy because I was tired today. I started crashing and burning. And I said, I have Kratom in the drawer and I haven't tried it yet. And so I went over and I got it out and I looked up dosages and obsessed about that for a little while and was like, I don't think I'll take too much. They'll find my body in a week or so if I do. Like, somebody will figure it out. Someone will figure out that I'm not around on Facebook. You're still, and contact the authorities.
Died from riding the green dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought, well, what's the worst that could happen if I react to it? I'm home alone.
What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. So I went for like it. Like it and,
so
wow.
much that you're going to end up living in a Walmart parking lot begging money for Kratom. We'll write blog posts for Kratom.
We'll write articles about Kratom for Kratom.
For Kratom. That's funny. That sounds like underpants gnomes thinking.
It sounds like the you want some Kratom in your Kratom because I heard you like Kratom thing.
Yeah. That's the episode right there, Jerry.
And to top it off, you'll wind up parked next to Adam Kokesh.
Ew.
Oh, no.
No. Don't even go there.
Not this
Not even
girl.
Once.
Oh,
not even once.
Adam Kokesh, not even once. Kids, parents, don't let your kids try Adam Kokesh.
So you're not going to wind up being up for like 3 or 4 days straight and then winding up like Johnny Depp in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
No, I'm sleepy. I'm sleepy.
Yeah, but you won't be if you take more Kratom. So no. What brand, what variety?
He was
variety?
Trying to push me earlier.
Are you on?
Take some more. I took Kratom
for a week straight.
Who was doing this evil to you? Who was trying to promote this?
Someone named, what was his name?
Cash Newman?
Yeah, that guy.
Cash Newman, yeah.
That guy. Cash Newman was pushing me. Take more, it'll be fun. Come on.
Are you sure it wasn't Tony Clifton?
It was one of those dudes. It might have been both of them. I don't know.
Was it Little Mike or Fat Mike?
They know each other. That's the funny part about it.
Yeah.
They're friends.
Fat Mike is in what? NoFX? Or?
Yeah, NoFX. And runs Fat Records, which is NoFX. It's his label. And talk about punk rockers. It's nice to have a car. Those guys are rich. They're literally millionaires. And I used to live across the street from this recording studio. Oh, NoFX.
Remember, a millionaire is just a billionaire without inflation.
Yeah, yeah. But for a millionaire for punk rock is a lot of money because most of them destitute and wish they had a car. But
you have to totally sell out for that.
Yeah, or just have a good business manager, like NoFX. But there was this recording studio across the street from my house in San Francisco. It's the, and you know, someone, somebody posted on Twitter the other day, it was Googling list of celebrities Michael Dean has name dropped. And I was like, well, actually, apparently after talking to Sammy from Fang, I want to see the list of celebrities I've hung out with but don't remember ever meeting. Because I was high, possibly on Kratom, or what passed for it in the day, which was heroin. But there was a recording studio across the street from us that was really nice. It's where Bomb recorded the Happy All the Time record in like one day for Boner Records with Tom Flynn. You know, we talked about Tom Flynn from Fang yesterday. But it's the building where if the interview from a vampire was with a vampire was written, you know, she talks in that book about the vampire cruising in his hot car up and down Divisadero Street. That's the street that house is on. And she used to live in that house, Anne Rice, when she lived in San Francisco and wrote that book. And that house is where that book takes place. They don't say the address of it, but she describes it. And Fat Mike bought that studio. He owns that house and owns the great recording studio down in the basement. That's pretty cool for punk rock. That's a few rungs above I wish I had a car, I would say. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So, speaking of punk rock and Fang, I just sent you guys an article. I want to talk about centrally planned anarchy, which is the San Francisco variety of it, the Bay Area, where it's so politically correct that this is basically an article about how Sammy from Fang was banned from playing a club because the club had a committee meeting where everyone got together. And it was partially that he'd murdered his girlfriend and gone to prison for it. But it was more the fact that he had a joke song called Destroy the Handicapped. And they, you know, that's how they centrally plan their anarchy. In San Francisco, there's this place called Gilman Street Project. It's where Green Day started. It's where, let's see, I don't think NoFX is allowed to play there. I don't think their lyrics would pass the committee meeting, Lou. Do you think? You're familiar with them, right?
You know what? I saw them, and I can't remember if it was opening up for No Doubt at St. Andrew's Theater in Detroit, or if it was opening up for Less Than Jake and Bad Religion at the Fox Theater.
Yeah,
not the Fox, some other place down in that area that looks kind of similar from the outside.
Well, so this place, Gilman Street Project, it was started by Tim Yohannan, who's dead of cancer now, who is when I was playing in Bomb, I mean, when I was like 25, he was probably 50, and he liked little boys. That was the theory. He's dead. Shouldn't denigrate the dead, but there was strong evidence that one of the reasons he was into punk rock was he liked having 12 and 13 year old boys hanging out at his house and maybe spending the night. But we'll just leave it at that. I don't have any proof, but that was the word. But he ran Maximum Rock and Roll magazine, and kind of funny, a place that's totally politically correct. It was started by a guy who may have liked young boys. That's not very PC, but it might be.
Well, that, I mean, that's fine, but if you use like oppressive language, no, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's and it. Maximum Rock and Roll was that kind of magazine. It was Maximum Rock and Roll is the reason punk rock still, you've heard of it. Have you guys heard of Maximum Rock and Roll magazine?
Nope.
I don't think so.
But I've heard of punk rock.
Yeah, well, when Maximum Rock and Roll magazine started in probably, I don't know, 79 or something, 78, and it's still published today, like on paper. They actually still publish a magazine. It was like every month, I couldn't wait to get it because every month it had like scene reports from all over the world. Like anybody could write the Beast Lick, Wyoming punk rock scene report and describe the scene and send it in and they'd publish it, especially if you sent pictures, which weren't that common then, and you had to get them developed and mail them through the mail. But this magazine is the reason that like punk rock stayed alive instead of dying out. You know, it was kind of the bulletin board of punk rock. It was the networking. It was where we would get the phone numbers to book our tour with Bomb. Like, oh, let's see, we have a gig in Toledo and Cleveland. Let's see if we have a night off between. Let's see if we can drive down to Athens, Ohio, and play a gig there. Who's booking in Athens? All right, pull out Maximum Rock and Roll. And you'd call the guy on the phone, and you'd get some 16-year-old kid who lived with his mother, who rents the VFW hall once a month to have a show, and you'd say, yeah, we're coming through. And he'd be like, well, I haven't heard of you. And I'd be like, well, let me FedEx you a cassette, and you can check us out. And then, you know, I'd try to avoid that and talk him into it, because that's how you had to, like, you know, if your records were in stores, you couldn't just say, well, let me email you an MP3 right now, or go to our Facebook page or YouTube. You'd say, let me FedEx you a cassette so it'll get there by next week so you can book us 2 weeks from now. That's how it worked, kids. Back when I was a punk rocker, we had to walk both ways, barefoot, uphill, both ways, 20 miles to each gig, literally. So
In the snow.
So and there was Kratom. Kratom. Just add, okay, when you get, from now on, when you get a fortune cookie, just add the words on Kratom at the end of whatever it says.
That's great.
The Kratom right. was three, foot, 3 feet deep, Kratom. And you had to walk in it.
The Kratom was 3 feet deep. Yeah. Yeah. So there's this place called Gilman Street Project. It's on Gilman Street in, it's Berkeley, but it's practically Oakland. It's like a couple blocks from the Oakland border. It's in the hood. It's in an industrial part of town where if you walk two blocks each way and you're white, you'll get killed either way. So it's a scary neighborhood. And punk rockers have shows there, and they somehow, like, this place has nonprofit status, and they have a board of directors, and like people with mohawks and face piercings back before that was everywhere in malls would sit around and have a Robert's Rules of Order meeting. Yes, they ran their meetings, they're anarchy, but Robert's Rules of Order. They would sit around and look at the lyrics of bands that wanted to play there and decide who could play there. And what's the name of this article? And somebody read a little bit of it before we go to the break. We'll come back with more of it, though.
Boycotters accuse 924 Gilman Street Project of ethical backslide.
Yeah, so in March, this is good to know, though. If you think, like, you know, all the infighting and libertarianism, imagine what it was like in punk rock, which is three times as self-righteous.
And didn't have the internet yet.
You had to go to a meeting. Well,
maybe
to
for
play.
This it did. Would you like to hear the first paragraph?
Yes, we please.
20 seconds. In March 2014, New Jersey pop punk outfit Joyride performed Backstabber at storied Berkeley punk venue 924 Gilman Street Project and encouraged the audience to join in on the refrain, "You're such a bitch." Jamie Holland, the evening sound person, whispered to vocalist C.J. Mueller not to play another song like that. We didn't know this was family night, retorted Mueller. So you get the family pack of Kratom. Retorted Mueller in a moment caught on video. At that, Holland switched on the house lights and got on the PA to reiterate some of the rules. No racism, no sexism, and no otherwise oppressive behavior.
This is in like the Freedom Fiends. They've been like this since like 1980.
An invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers, and some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any tomfoolery. So go with agoristhosting.com. And if you want to get your foot in the door with decentralized marketplaces, Agorist Hosting is now offering Open Bazaar hosting. Go to agoristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted Now.
For the show, it's Lisa. And it's, so it's Kratom, not even once. It's got before and after. The name of the show tonight is going to be Kratom, not even once. It's Kratom, right?
I thought it was going to be. Would you like some Kratom in your Kratom?
No, this is
you
better.
Like Kratom.
No, because like this Kratom. Is better because it'll be lake bait. Because people who like Kratom will be like, the Freedom Feeds are anti Kratom, and they'll share it. Yeah, but the name.
What?
But the name of the image is Lisa, not even once. And I was like, wait, I don't mean that. I'm sorry.
I was like, hold on,
Lisa, not even once. No, that's just the name of the image of who's in. You know, I discovered something about. Oh, go ahead.
The Freedom Fiends, anti kratom, pro cat,
pro cat,
pro cat woman.
Yeah. So I'm. What does that mean? I'm a cat. Not a costume. This is not okay with a picture of a woman in a cat costume. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. I posted those, that.
That's funny.
Yep. Do you make that, Lou?
No. That's no, funny. There's a whole series of them. There's one with the fox and...
The cat's the best one, though, because cats. Yeah, so we're talking about...
I was
going to
do the white rabbit thing, but it was too complicated.
We're talking about... Well, you just glue a cotton ball to your butt? Well, that's the part most people forget with that costume, though. You glue the cotton ball to your butt.
I had a tail on the other night. I would have remembered the details.
A tail.
I did have
a tail. Oh, man. Travis is going to go crazy. He's, you know, Travis, who does the Bipcot Goo Twitter account. I don't know if y'all remember this, but the Bipcot Goo transformed. It used to be.
Cantwell Googling,
which I told him to call Cantwell Goo. Yeah, so and it was always stuff about Cantwell being a furry, which I don't know that Cantwell is, but it was just funny. I liked it. So he makes all the furry memes. So we're talking about Gilman Street Project, the punk rock centrally planned anarchy place in Berkeley that wouldn't let Sammy from Fang play because, I don't know, it's not punk rock to do crimes and sing about the handicapped, I guess. I think it's punk as hell, but punk can be a whole bunch of things. But the funny thing is, so, you know, I've seen for decades, anarchy rules spray painted on the side of stuff. It's often misspelled, but, and this is usually leftist anarchists back in the day, but, you know, there was a joke about people would say like, well, what are the anarchy rules? I think the anarchy rules are, basically, Gilman Street writes them because this is centrally planned anarchy. This is a safe space for loud, angry, horrible music, wonderful music. Like, think about punk rock and how that should have nothing to do with safe spaces. But this was a safe space, you know, like in like 1979 or 80, starting whenever that place started. I'll look it up. But Lou, can you read more of this? Horrible art, this great article about this horrible place. And I do want to mention, interrupt you before I start here. Bomb played there twice, which is kind of surprising because, you know, lyrics, because our lyrics were like not clear and kind of obscure and dreamy and heroiny and about God and sex and stuff. But our hit song, the first line of it, one of them was Madness, the song. The first line of it is, Anna takes me in her mouth and spits me out in Catholic guilt. I mean, like, I don't know how that ever got to play at Gilman Street, but it did. And
it was a family night.
It was every night's family night, though, at Gilman Street. That's funny that guy said that. I like that. But the other thing about Gilman Street is they wouldn't let us play there after we got signed to Warner Brothers. It's that kind of place. You know, most clubs would be like, oh, you got signed to Warner Brothers? Please come play. But they're like, nope, nope, you've sold out. Even though you're still starving to death, you're on Warner Brothers, you sold out, you can't play here. We're out?
What? No.
Are we out?
No, we're
I hear voices in my head. Here. I thought it was the ads.
Are you on Kratom?
It's the Kratom.
I hear Alex Jones in my head.
Voices.
Did you get a contact high from Lisa over the
yeah, I did.
2,000
I did.
Miles away?
Or, Cash was lying
Cash Newman crashed out on my bed.
Yeah. See, I thought he was under your bed. I must have heard before.
No, it's the cats.
That's what I was hearing earlier.
Yeah. No. You know, last night when we were talking about Alex Jones, the ad we went to right after that was Alex Jones.
Yeah, it was.
And I left that in, a little bit of that in because it was ironic or interesting or cool. Yeah, we're label mates.
That was a Central Scrutinizer.
Oh, I know.
Just letting you know that. Yeah,
not Alex Jones. I hate the Central Scrutinizer. Alex Jones is cool. But
so would you like me to continue reading?
If we got time, yeah. You're going to get cut off by the Central Scrutinizer, but go ahead for a minute.
It was a classic confrontation for Gilman, but Holland's stand against gratuitous use of bitch irked much of the membership.
And here we go. There's some punk rock taking us out here.
It prompted prominent volunteers to deface Eternal Club documents.
Almost. Eternal Club documents? Wait, is Hillary involved here?
Take away their snail mail.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
It's so good. So this is the Kratom Fiends. The Kratom Fiends. This is the Kratom Fiends. Gold is trading at $1,268 an ounce. Silver is up at $17 an ounce. Bitcoin is up at $710 an ounce. It's a great day. And Bitcoin is back up to 0.02 millibits, which is about 1 cent. And, you know, someone might go, man, your cryptocurrency that just came out is only worth a penny. And I'm like, my answer is, how much is your cryptocurrency worth?
Yeah.
To those haters. I'm really proud of my team at Bitcoin. Derek Slopey up there in Maine. My friend Makis in Greece. My friend SLB in somewhere in Eastern Europe. No one knows because he's a secretive kind of dude. But they're doing great.
In
they're
Eastern
kicking
Europe.
Butt. What's that?
I said, is he even in Eastern Europe? Who knows?
I know. He's in Casper. He's down the street.
He could be anywhere.
Me. He's everywhere. He's the guy that Cash buys his Kratom from, probably does. The Kratom section at Whole Foods, that's coming soon. You know, probably. I got to say, thanks, government, because I'd heard of Kratom, like, in passing, you know, because I read. But I hadn't heard of it nonstop, and I hadn't heard of, like, 80 places selling of it and half of them being sold out of the better stuff. Thanks, government. That's what happens when you try to outlaw something. You do the opposite of make it go away.
Yep. Everybody right, wants right, to know Lou? What it was. What does right, that have Lou? To have it?
Lou, explain government real economy to people because you're good at this.
Government real economy.
Government economy. So, explain the real economy of the government, the fake government. Yeah. Explain it for the people in the cheap seats at Gilman Street.
there are a bunch of dumb stupid heads painting government and the people at Gilman Street. And
thank you.
It's the department making everything ungood.
Lou has a PhD from Thien University in economics, which is true, and it's a good thing. And yeah, I like it.
Double plus on good.
Yeah. Hey, today is my cat Beast's birthday. He's 1 year old today. My black cat. Aww. We decided his birthday is Halloween. Yeah. It's within a week or two of Halloween because.
Oh, I know what you mean.
My vet is really good at looking at cats' teeth and touching their fruits,
their junk,
and looking at them, and really quick, he can just tell you exactly pretty much how old a cat is.
No, I knew a guy once who used to try to pull that scam on women. I don't know. I
can guess your age.
Let me guess your age.
For only a dollar, I'll guess your age.
So what you're saying is,
all you have to do is stare at you and grab your junk for a little while, it'll all be fine.
So your vet grabs a pussy cat by the stuff.
Yeah. So my vet, who's currently out for a week hunting bighorn sheep, even though he broke his collarbone getting thrown off a horse. Yes, this is not your California vets, man. Yeah, and he's like 60, and he's in great shape.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and he charges like 1/8 of what a vet costs in where Jeremy lives, apparently. And yes. He'll take chickens as payment, too.
Please. I just spent $450 on Murder Dog the other day just for some blood work.
I think I've spent less than $400 on these three cats all together, getting all their shots, all of their tests. Everything. So, and getting antibiotics.
Welcome to the People's Democratic Republic of New Yorkistan.
Yep. Welcome to Wyoming, where everything's free and you can pay in chickens. Even the kratom. The kratom. Kratom soon to be outlawed by Central. Anyway.
I want somebody to buy kratom with chickens. That would be special. Hey,
you can even buy chickens.
Somebody make this happen.
I'll trade you.
You can even buy chickens with chickens.
Okay, but you can buy chickens and kratom with Bitcoin. I'm waiting for that day. All right, so we're talking about the central planning of punk rock, of the Gilman Street Project, which... Rancid started there. Green Day started there. You know who Bomb played there with was a band called the Beatniks. Beatniks is about the most politically incorrect band name you could ever have, but there was a black guy in the band, and it was Michael Fronte, who's now in Spearhead. Do you guys know him? Who that is?
I know that name, yeah.
No.
He's popular, like world beat, like housewives like him. And that kind of music.
Hey,
it's kind of like easy listening. But he was in an abrasive industrial band back then called the Beatniks, and Bomb opened up for them, or they opened. I think that's another thing, Gilman Street. I think you flip a coin to see who's the headlining band. We did when we were there. Seriously, because it's egalitarian, you know. So like, you'll go see Dead Kennedys open up for three bands you've never heard of. That kind of place.
Oh, okay.
But
The band Better Than Ezra, they got their name because they opened up for a band called Ezra, and they like wiped the stage with them.
Really?
Or this yeah. So they changed their name.
I like
to
it.
Better Than Ezra.
Well, Bomb was better than Gilman Street Project, but played there somehow.
So I figure Wes and Jake got their name the same way.
Yeah.
So anyway. I want to go back to the paragraph that I was reading. I'm going to start over.
Yeah.
It was a classic confrontation for Gilman, but Holland's stand against gratuitous use of bitch irked much of the membership, according to the former sound person, and prompted prominent volunteers to deface internal club documents with the word for weeks afterward. As Holland said in a recent interview, it was like a silent fourth grade Mean Girls harassment campaign.
This place started in
Mean Girls.
That's funny. This place started in 1985, by the way, Gilman Street. So that kind of puts a context into it. And think about how few cities in America could support a 24/7 all ages punk rock club, no alcohol, where you have to be politically correct, and they have nonprofit status and a board of directors. That's so San Francisco Bay Area, man.
Yeah. You know, going back to the crazy names, there was a hard rock band with all black members called Mother's Finest, and they had a song called Just Like a Negro.
Wow.
Hmm.
So I guess beatnik isn't really that offensive, crazy enough the wall.
Yeah. So read some more, Lou, about the this. Get down to the part. You got the part about Fang, about Sammy from Fang there.
Oh God, I'm going to find it.
Just search here Fang on the page.
The incident that immediately precipitated the boycott was a vote to cancel an upcoming July 22nd performance by Fang, the East Bay punk rock group led by convicted killer Sammy Town McBride, whose misanthropic lyrics make light of rape among other transgressions.
You know, Sammy Town McBride is the cousin, I believe, of Bippy McBipperson, who works at the senior examiner at Beastlick Forensics, who confirmed to 91% probability that Andy Kaufman did fake his death and is now cranky sci-fi writer J. Neil Schulman. Okay, go on.
Actually, it is conclusively been proven 100% that Andy Kaufman is 164th J. Neil Schulman. Ah. Or maybe it's the other way around. But yeah. Anyway, McBride spent 6 years in prison for strangling his girlfriend to death in 1989 and reformed Fang upon release. So after he got reformed, the band was reformed.
Nice.
Local musician and former Gilman volunteer, my tongue doesn't work that way.
Weird lesbian name.
Yeah, 25, said that the outcome of the meeting, which was attended by McBride and supporters, seemed almost predetermined. Socialists have predetermined results.
A punk rock kangaroo court? Yeah. Socialism? No, yeah. You don't say.
Yeah. So, yeah, kangaroos bouncing around with mohawks, which was attended by McBride and supporters, seemed almost predetermined. Another member of Fang, Gilman, sound person Obadiah Bowling, was allowed to vote on the motion to cancel, which failed 12-13 in favor.
Wait, did he vote to cancel his own band from peer pressure?
I don't know.
No, I but think
that would be some hardcore SJW stuff. A lot of my friends grew up at Gil. Well, maybe he wanted the night off.
Well, you know why Sammy has a whole new band, because except for Tom Flynn, who's still in the band sometimes, members of his band turned him in when he was on The Lamb and on America's Most Wanted. So,
oh, really? Yeah, that'll get you kicked out.
That's
a kicking.
That's so. That's not cool punk rock, man. I don't care what your band member did. You're all for one for all. You don't turn him in. You don't speak to the police, man.
Yeah, that's in the Freedom Fiend bylaws, too, that no member of the Fiends can snitch on another.
No matter what. Yeah, it's called the Sammy McBride rule.
Yeah.
So anyway, I love that guy. I do. Go on.
A lot of my friends who grew up at Gilman left with their heads down, recalled. People felt really discouraged with the sense of, this place is dead to me. So, it sounds like death by democracy.
It is, and Maximum Rock and Roll, I mean, it's not surprising that this has been institutionalized with committees at Gilman Street Project. This is kind of what Maximum Rock and Roll was, especially the letters section. Every month, it was, so-and-so band just played to 8 people in my town, and I want people to boycott them because they had a song called Chicks Are Cool, Dude. And, you know, it was just ridiculous. It was, ugh.
If I could inject a little seriousness here, I'm going to promote our friend Prof CJ of the Dangerous History Podcast.
I love his band.
Episode. Yeah. He does.
It's called Florida
stuff.
Man. I have all the records.
Yeah, his acapella stuff is really good, long but really good. But anyway,
I like his spoken word stuff.
He did an episode called "The Iron Law of Oligarchy," and this would be the example of the Iron Law of Oligarchy. Whenever you have a group, no matter how democratic it is, no matter what the mission statement is that it's going to be, nobody's going to be above the law or below the law. There will be true equality and egalitarianism. Well, it always turns out that some pigs are more equal than others, because you always have some splinter group that will wind up becoming the oligarchy, being in charge of the whole thing. And like they said, it seemed like the results were predetermined before they went in there. It sounds like you have a small central planning committee that
literally
said, okay, this is how it's going to be, and you know, that's how they run the show.
Yep. And punk rock, man, the anarchy rules.
Punk's not dead, but is standing in a bread line.
Punk's not dead, but fortunately, none of these people have weapons, because if they did, they'd be Stalin.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, Stalin on his own was pretty harmless. He didn't. I don't think he killed too many people with his own hands, if any.
It was his committee.
It was the people that listened to him. You know, the cops and soldiers that had a love of country, a sense of duty, and
sense and of love of punk rock and the anarchy rules. Yeah.
Yeah.
Redemption in the third act, when we get back from this trip to the Kratom Free Market. Powered by not Bitcoin.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
So I think I said the price of Bitcoin wrong, but it is about a penny. I read the millibits wrong, but it's hard to read this little Freedom Fiends, this little Bitcoin app on my phone. There's an app that you can, Jeremy couldn't set it up, but you can, what's it called, Jeremy?
Oh, I don't have my
It's called Digital Currency Widget. It's available for Android, and you can, since we're on Cryptopia, you can download this free app or widget and then pick Cryptopia from the list and then pick Bitcoin/Bitcoin as the trade pair, and it'll update every however minutes you set it for with the current price of Bitcoin, which is currently $0.0144, which is a little over a penny per Bitcoin. And it is
Bitcoin
trading
for your people thoughts,
buying and selling it. Bitcoin for your thoughts. So did you guys see the libertarian Halloween meme that's going around?
Yeah.
What does it say?
I loved it. It's a house with a, you know, like a the steps walking up to the house, and it says "Happy Halloween, you little bastards," Schumers, or something. And Schumers, and it's Schumers got a.
Oh yeah.
Instead of having pumpkins or free candy or whatever, it's got like a gumball machine. Like, okay, you want some candy? Put a nickel in here, kids. Free market.
Yeah, I posted that.
I like it.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. One.
So we're going to have Lisa read in the last section. I did want to say, Lou did a great job reading. You can read. Thank you. Everyone can read on the Fiends.
Good job, Lou. You can read.
I didn't mean it like that.
You get a gold star.
I mean, he's good at the reading out loud on the fly. But Lisa tried reading it during the break before that, and she couldn't read it because she was seeing little green men between the words on the screen.
Yeah,
I remember one time back when I used to shoot heroin and LSD into my eyeball every 90 minutes with Sammy McBride. Actually, I don't know. Did we ever? Well, he liked heroin and acid, and I liked heroin and acid. But I remember one time I was on acid and I was shooting heroin, and I couldn't find, you know, I could find a vein, but it was hard finding the blood to pull it up into, because I kept seeing little tiny seahorses swimming around in the heroin in the syringe. Seriously, like sea monkey sized seahorses. It's weird.
Yeah. That is weird.
Yeah.
Tricky,
but
man.
I finally got to work. All right. So, the Offspring got their one of the, they played at Gilman Street before they were famous too. And you got to keep them separated.
But they're going to go far, kid.
Yeah. Oh, so we've gone full circle here. All right, Lou, you got a redemption in the third act, right?
As a matter of fact, I do. Not everybody has been traumatized by the 2016 election. There's a report here in Waldport, Oregon. So we have Freedom Fiend field correspondent Nick mounting his yak and getting out there to do some interviews and everything. Waldport, Oregon. A team of anthropologists announced Friday it had discovered an isolated tribe of blissful Americans who have never been exposed to the current presidential campaign or its candidates, noting that the highly identified population lives, or the newly identified population lives contentedly in a remote village completely untouched by the 2016 race. According to researchers from the Lewis and Clark College. The peaceful, secluded community along the outskirts of Oregon's Drift Creek Wilderness remains uncontacted by political canvassers, pollsters, and the election media, allowing its generally cheerful and affable inhabitants to go about their daily lives without ever encountering a political poll, election news story, campaign ad, soundbite, or stump speech. Upon first entering the village, we immediately noticed how relaxed and upbeat the inhabitants appeared, but it wasn't until speaking with them directly that we understood how insulated they were from the country's political climate, said Professor Elizabeth Letts, adding that the tribe's level of stress, depression, and anxiety were far lower than those recorded over the past 18 months among the broader American populace. They actually seem to lead gratifying, well-balanced lives. The adults enjoy 8 hours of sleep each night, and in place of discussing politics or the latest revelations about the candidates, they were seen regularly smiling or laughing, not cynically or as a defense mechanism, even, but out of genuine joy. In my 30 years of studying human cultures, I've never come across people so happy, she continued.
Nice. And I got some news you can use. If you regularly call a doctor or have to get messages from doctors and tell your doctor, you can leave messages with results and things on my answering machine message and give them permission in writing like you have to do. Make sure you set up your voicemail, because for the past year, I found out the reason I've been playing phone tag with my doctor, a nurse finally told me today, oh, you don't have your name on your answering machine, so we couldn't leave actual, you know. So after this show, I want one of you young people to stick around and tell me how to change the message on my phone. I don't know.
I don't know how to do it either, believe it or not.
At press time, sources confirmed a campaign bus could be seen winding its way down a wooded road toward the village. No free people left behind.
Is this the Onion, Lou? Uncontacted tribes.